growing up in Ireland, there are many places worthy of exploration with rich histories and beautiful views, and as I've gotten older, friends have often come with me to explore these places. The typical group I go with involves my boyfriend, whom we'll call A, and three of our friends, whom we'll call J, M, and H. At 10:30 p.m., we met up in the local McDonald's car park, each of us decked out in hiking boots, combat trousers, heavy coats, hats, gloves, and torches. We had gotten out to do a final check over our gear to ensure we had spare batteries, pocket knives, rope, and a first aid kit. We took our exploration trips seriously, having encountered our fair share of antisocial groups and, on one occasion, a very angry pigeon that resulted in the small scar above my eyebrow. In our naive minds, we were more than prepared for the night ahead, leaving little room for things to go wrong. We had all crammed ourselves into my boyfriend's Land Rover and set off towards our location of the night, an 11th century monastic site hidden out in the countryside on a small island in the middle of a lake, reached only by an old rickety bridge. For those who don't know what a monastic site is, it's the location of an old monastery that has since become a ruin. I'd been before, though during the day, and found the place breathtaking, so made the decision to recommend the site to our group. They agreed. Eventually, an hour, five wrong turns, and a loose sheep later, we came to the bridge that led to the ruins. When I call it a bridge, it was, in reality, little more than rotting planks of wood thrown together to create a 20-meter, 65 ft, long walkway that stretched across the shallow lake to the small piece of land home to the monastery. Getting out, we had all made our way across the planks, having to balance ourselves and our gear carefully, but nonetheless we made it across in one piece, aside from Jay getting his foot stuck between two of the old boards. On the other side, we were met with the shrouded tree line that sheltered our destination, and turning to look back over the bridge, we could no longer see my boyfriend's four-wheeler due to the thick mist that had fallen upon the surrounding area. Despite what you might think, none of us found the area creepy or sensed anything dangerous, not even when we arrived at the actual ruins. In fact, in the pale light of the waxing gibbon moon, the place was beautiful in a mystical way that felt as though you may come across some piece of ancient magic. For the first 2 hours after our arrival, nothing out of the ordinary happened. We all spread out over the place, seeing it for ourselves, and had found some cool stuff. A had found a cool glass bottle that once had contained whiskey, though was unfortunately completely empty now, and I had found a small smoking pipe that I had proudly set into my backpack as a souvenir of our trip. Things were going smoothly until, at about 2 a.m., M began screaming hysterically from the other side of the island. This side of the island was bare of trees or ruins and was nothing more than extremely arid soil, so we had found it odd that M would be over here at all. Running over, we saw her sitting on the ground, her knees pulled tightly against her chest and pointing wildly to a pile of rocks that I had missed on my first inspection of the area. Upon further study, however, it became apparent that it was not a pile of rocks, rather a pile of small but very dead animals. The smallest of these creatures was a little mouse, and the largest, a fox. There were also birds, squirrels, a number of other various rodents, and one tabby cat. These animals had very clearly experienced gruesome deaths, with eyes being gorged out, lacerations along their abdomen, and limbs torn off and added neatly to the pile. It is important to note that there are no large predators in Ireland. The biggest you will see are badgers and foxes or domesticated dogs, but nothing that would have been capable of doing this. This raised alarm bells as it meant whatever had done this was very human. The dead animals stank, but I found it very hard to look away from them and stared on, confused. I had been by this area already to check it out, and while it was only a quick look, I had been certain that there was nothing here. No pile of rocks and no bad smell. Now it's entirely possible that I had missed this anomaly and it had been here the whole time, but the flesh of the animals was still perceivably warm and fresh, and I certainly would not have been able to miss that god-awful stench. Was something here while we had been on the other side of the island and left in the time that M came upon the site? We asked M if she had seen anything else, but she was adamant that she had been wanting to take a second look in case she found anything here and instead found the animals, and that nothing else had caught her attention or seemed to her as odd. All of us were admittedly a little shaken and creeped out, and I felt a nauseous sensation pulling in my chest. We made the decision to head back to the main site of the ruins and grab a bite to eat before heading home. When 4 a.m. came, we had finished up and were preparing to leave the area. The events of 2 hours ago had been pushed to the backs of our minds, and we were laughing freely at whatever stupid tales H was recounting. Until, at least, we all at once picked up on the dead silence of the surrounding area. I'd read about this in other people's stories of when they'd gone hunting and the woods had gone silent, but I'd never experienced it for myself until now. When I say it was silent, I mean there wasn't even a breath of wind or a ripple of water against the shoreline 10 meters from us. The tree line was mute, and not even crickets seemed to make a noise. This was a silence completely alien to anyone in our group, and immediately, feelings of unease and panic set in. "Hey, I think we should speed it up a bit. Get home soon. My ma will be barking up my arse if I arrive home when the sun pokes up," said H in a lighter tone, breaking the silence and hauling his rucksack onto his back. "I make good shout. Let's head home," replied A, though in a quieter voice than he usually uses. We had reached the other side of the tree line and to the rickety bridge to return to the car when a loud, aggressive metal banging assumed from the direction of the monastery we had just left behind. We all froze. Turning back to the tree line, we stared on in fear. J, H, and I had pulled out our pocket knives, and we were all shining our torches carefully along the dark line of vegetation, searching for any movement. It was this very moment that my life changed. I saw what was upon first glance only a shadow, but bringing my torch to light it up again, it was very clearly the figure of a very tall, very lanky man. He must have been around 6'7" and stood hunched. This man had no discernible features, nor clothes, and was completely shrouded in darkness, despite the light of my torch shining on him. In his arm he carried something long and sharp, and it hung loosely at his side, grazing the ground beneath him. But what scared me the most was his flesh. It was lacerated entirely, and even charred in places, rotting away from his bones. He was missing his left arm, and his lips had seemingly rotted off to reveal a gaping hole of a mouth. He had no eyes, only torn flesh around his sockets, suggesting that they had been carved out, just like the animals. I didn't know I was screaming until a hand clamped over my mouth, and a panicked voice cried my name. "What the hell is wrong with you? Why are you screaming? There's nothing there." It was A. I stopped and turned to face him. They all had a worried look on their faces, clearly thinking I had gone mental. "There, can't you see him? He's right there." I had been yelling, pointing angrily at the man, who had not moved an inch. They didn't see him. All they saw was the empty tree line and their friend on the verge of a breakdown over something not there at all. So I stopped. The drive back to the McDonald's car park was silent, and no one spoke a word of goodbye to one another as we parted ways. drove me home, and when he pulled up outside my house, he grabbed my hand. Look, I don't know what you think you saw back there, but I swear we didn't see anything. We were all hyped up and a little bit freaked out. It could have been a trick of the torchlight. Get some rest. I'll see you tomorrow, he said, kissing me gently on the head. I believed him. He was probably right after all, so I decided not to think on it anymore until last week when I had a dream about the island. 3 nights ago, as of writing this, I made A take me back. We arrived at the other side of the bridge at 8:15 p.m., and I saw nothing. Deciding it wasn't enough, I continued on to the ruins, against A's pleading for me to leave. The second I got to the monastery, a wave of rotting flesh hit my senses, and it took all my strength not to empty my stomach there and then. I forced myself to look around, and at first I saw nothing. But as I turned back to leave, I saw, put of the corner of my eye, a tall figure standing by the collapsed stone. I didn't dare face it. I don't think I could have even if I wanted to. Ignorance is bliss, right? I regret going back to that place. A still swears up and down that he saw nor smelt anything on the first or second times we were at this place, but I know what I saw and felt. I don't take any type of drugs or medication, and I'm not prone to mental episodes. I was very much aware of my surroundings. What was there felt very real. Despite this, every part of me wants to see it as a figment of my imagination and move on, but I can't. I refuse to call it a ghost, as M jokingly called it, or a spirit, or a demon. I don't know what it was, but it felt like death itself had shown its face to me. I haven't been able to sleep the past 3 nights, and I've barely eaten. I don't know how to process what I've seen. If anyone at all could offer me some advice or insight, I would really appreciate it.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.